Them up to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Each week now for a while we've been going through a beatitude every Sunday. As we gathered last week, we looked at those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I know some of us today, we might be hungry. But what is it that you're hungry for? Are you hungry for the Word of God today? Are you hungry for the Holy Spirit to speak to you today? Are you hungry for His change? You know, that's the things that we ought to be hungering and thirsting for. And we looked at other ones as well along the way. But today we're going to be looking in verse number 7. Look with me, please, at just a short verse here. It says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Dear God, I thank You, Lord, for this beautiful Lord's Day. God, I thank You so much for the change of season. And Lord, for the cooler weather You've blessed us with. But God, most importantly, I thank You for this time we have to gather together, Lord, to fellowship with one another, to commune with one another, but most importantly, God, to be fed together, Lord, from that which You have for us today. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be attentive. Lord, our ears will be willing to hear those things which the Spirit hath for us today. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. What is mercy? It used to be a hand game. When I was younger, it was a game where you and your opponent would clasp hands just like so, and you'd grab each other's hands, and you would just do whatever you could do to create as much pain as possible. So the other person would say, "Mercy." And then if you felt nice, you would stop. But what is mercy? Is it when a wrestler lets go of a hold upon an opponent after they have tapped out? In Mercy, just the name, we find even a music group, Mercy Me. Is mercy something expected from others without regard to practice mercy ourselves? This morning, as we'll be looking at this particular verse in the section known as the Beatitudes, let us understand more deeply what it means to be merciful. After all, Jesus said, "Those who are merciful will obtain mercy." So as we look at this three-part sermon we have today, "Blessed are the merciful," we'll be looking at three different things. And first, I'd like to point our direction into this area of the nature of mercy. The nature of mercy. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful." And so as we look at those who are the blessing of those who are merciful, I'm reminded of a biblical example. It's found over in Luke chapter number 10. Jesus tells about, it's a parable called the Good Samaritan. And in that parable, we find that religious leaders, they forsook the traveler that was found in the ditch, even though he was calling for help. We find others as well that ignored him while he was in the ditch and in dire need, but yet it was a Samaritan. And yes, a Samaritan in the eyes of the Jews was one who was despised. They had no fellowship with Samaritans. But yet it was a Samaritan who embodied neighborly love and mercy. You see, it was this Samaritan who did not pass by as the others had done. No, when he heard the cry for help, we find that he stopped. He bound up the man's wounds. He even provided for his recovery. And if there was anything else that was required, that Samaritan said, "I'll even come back and I'll make sure the bill is paid in full." That is a great example of mercy, isn't it? It's true that mercy does abound. Yes, mercy is somewhere in this world today, right? You won't find it in this world from the worldly standpoint, but you will find it in this world from other Christians and believers. Occasionally, yes, you'll run across a lost person who says, "I'm going to extend mercy to you." I'm also reminded of the servant who had a debt, and his debt was called to pay. You know, it was time to pay up. I'm dreading the day when the nations of this world decide it's time for our nation to pay up. But anyway, this servant, it was time for him to pay up. And he cried to the master and said, "Master, please, please don't do this to me. Don't put me into slavery. I don't want to go in that direction. I don't want to lose everything." And the master had mercy on him. And so that servant went and found one of his other servants. Yeah, servants have servants who have other servants. And then that servant tells this lower servant, it's time to pay up. And that lower servant could not pay up, and he begged for mercy just as the other man had done to his master. And we find that this servant wasn't going to have it. He said, "Nope, you owe me. I'm going to make you pay. I'm going to throw you into debtor's prison." Doesn't that sound merciful? But yet he was the man who had just received mercy from his master, and here he is not exacting mercy on his servant too. And it was a lot smaller of a debt that was owed compared to what this middle servant owed to his master. But when the master found out what went on, it was not a good day for that servant. Because of his actions, that master said, "Sell everything that he has, put him into debtor's prison, let him rot." Because he did not do to others as I had done for him. Mercy at its heart can be defined as this: love in motion. Or even love in action. It's a moving of love. We must recognize that mercy ought to come naturally to a believer. This ought to be something that just naturally come forth. But there's hardened hearts within Christian circles today. There are Christians that are hurting so much, and they've become just like Ebenezer Scrooge, declared that they ought to die and decrease the surplus of the population. Mercy does not say that. Mercy says, "How can I best serve this person in their time of need? How can I serve someone else when they are in a time of need?" Haven't we all been in a time of need? I believe we've all been there. I've been there. I remember when we first got married, my wife and I, we were sitting in our duplex up in Hagerstown, Maryland, holes in the wall, plaster literally falling out of the walls, you know, and stones were, the basement foundation was shot too. But we were sitting there on our splintered floor. It was just a mess of a floor. We were sitting there eating our pizza. That was our first meal in our house. Oh, isn't that sweet? Yep, we sat on the floor and ate it probably a $3 coffee table that you would find outside the road somewhere sitting, you know. But mercy was this: there was someone else who needed stuff as well. They needed some help. When you're put in a position of where you need mercy, isn't it nice when people help you out? It's beyond nice. Some people say, "Well, I don't want to put anybody out. You know, I don't want to make them go without because I'm in need." My friend, that's what brotherly love is. That's what Christian fellowship is. That's what it means to be merciful. The nature of mercy. As we continue on down through and we see a little bit more here, Jesus, he also says, "Blessed are the peacemakers," in verse number 9. When we find mercy, we find peacemakers. When we find mercy, we also find verse number 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart." And there's so many things that come off of this one verse. This one verse sets the stage for us as an example of this is where you begin. No, that was last week's. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. That's where you begin, you know. That's when you really start to get into the Word. That's when you really start to study the Word. That's not only when you study or get in, but it's also a time when you start to apply the Word of God. And as you're applying the Word of God to your life, you're going to find yourself with a heart of compassion. You're going to find a heart that wants to do those things which are honoring and pure before the Lord. You're going to find yourself wanting to make peace with others instead of war. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. As we see the nature of mercy, we likewise see today, in point number 2, the practical ways of mercy. The practical ways of mercy. Jesus is that perfect example of a merciful heart of God. In so many ways, during His earthly ministry, we read of His mercy on display. We see that He forgave sinners. Who are you to forgive sinners? Are you God? You say that I am. But he had the power to forgive sinners. We find that he touched lepers when no one else would touch the person who must yell, unclean, unclean. We find Jesus says, I'm going to touch you and I'm going to make you whole. We find as well that he would weep for those who had mourned, as we found out that Lazarus was dead and he was in the tomb for several days already. We find that as Jesus is approaching the tomb, yes, there's a lot of debate about what Jesus was weeping about. Was he weeping because the others were crying? You know, was he a sympathetic, kind of mourner? Because others are crying, I'm going to cry too. Because others are laughing, I'm going to laugh too. I don't know if that's what it was. Maybe he was, weeping because he knew that Lazarus was dead and then Lazarus was going to have to die again. Because he knew what he was going to do. The Father wanted him to bring Lazarus back from the dead. Either way, we find that Jesus would likewise weep when others were mourning. Upon the cross, we find Jesus. He was abused, he was beaten, he was mocked, he was spat upon, he was railed against, he was pierced by the very nature of sin. But yet he says this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, what a heart of mercy. We find as well, when you read through the book of Acts, that first deacon of the church in Jerusalem, one of those first deacons there, we find that he was the first martyr on record. And he said the same thing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Mercy is not something that is abstract. Mercy is not something that is unattainable. This is a very virtue. This is a virtue meant to be lived out in our daily life. But it's so hard to be merciful to that person. Pastor, you don't know what they've done to me. How can I be merciful to them? I'll tell you now, the greatest thing you can do is to show forgiveness. Not only to show forgiveness, but likewise inside forgive. That doesn't necessarily mean you'll forget. Because our humanity makes it hard for us to forget. But we can forgive. We can still give mercy. A few practical examples to how we ought to practice this very virtue in our daily walk is this. Forgive quickly and do so completely. Forgive quickly. When you have a fault with a brother or a sister in Christ, go to them immediately or as soon as possible. Take care of that dispute. The Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. So forgive quickly and do so completely. Also do this, offer help to others in need. Well, I haven't done that in a long time. I know, but there's coming a day when you're going to need some help too. Start practicing today. Help others that are in need. We find that there's a lot of organizations in this world that help people in their time of need. The Red Cross was brought up today in Sunday school. That's a great it used to be a great organization. I don't know all of the ins and outs of it today, but its fundamental principles was helping humanity in their time of need, showing mercy when mercy was needed the most. We need to speak words of kindness as well. Speak words of encouragement to one another. Likewise, be gentle to one another because a soft answer turneth away wrath. When you get angry, let's be honest, there's times you do get upset. When you get angry, are you the kind of person that is soft-spoken in your anger? Are you the kind of person that's loud, boisterous, and you just let it go? I would encourage you to practice. If you are going to get upset, do so with a soft voice and with a soft demeanor. I knew when my mom was upset with me growing up, because I could hear her 10 acres away. But my dad, when he was upset with me, I'd have to get right beside his lips so that I could hear what he had to say. Oh, our Our Father gave us the Holy Spirit. God gave us something so sweet, and He whispers in your ear. He whispers to your heart when mercy needs to be displayed the most. And you can't hear that voice when you're yelling and shouting and carrying on. You can only hear that voice when you do what the Bible says. Be still. We need to be patient with people's failures. People will fail. People will stumble. But we ought to remember we've failed too. We've stumbled as well. And it must be reminded to us of how, yep, I see that they've fallen. But I was likewise there one time too. Let me show some mercy. Let me show some compassion. Let me be like Jesus to those who are lost. This virtue here of mercy is one of those virtues which Benjamin Franklin had upon a placard hanging on his wall. He had a placard on his wall with the virtues that God had given us that are very important for us to have in our life. And every single day, Benjamin Franklin, before he would leave his residency, he would look at that placard on the wall, and one of those virtues there, he would say, "That one I will practice today." When's the last time you practiced this virtue? Maybe today is a great day to say, "Lord, help me to put this into practice this very week." Let us strive to be merciful. We know that this world has brought some religions that have definitely become great enemies of the cross. Islam, for one, is probably the greatest persecutor of Christianity today. But just because you see their robe, just because you see them in their faithful prayers to Mecca every day, just because you see them reading their Quran, that does not give us excuse to still show them Christ. We ought to show them the Lord. Be merciful to them. Hey, we're coming up on a week right now where Facebook's going to go crazy. The National Geographic's going to show it again. It's going to be all over the TV stations again and reminding us once again that we ought to never forget September 11. That day is coming again for us to never forget. My friend, they need Jesus too. And in the Islamic world today, some people say, well, over in China is where the greatest harvest of souls is at the time. You know, where more Christian, more souls are coming to know Christ in China right now than ever before. Some will say, no, it's Africa. Africa is where there are more souls coming to know Christ now than ever. Some will say, well, it's South America over in Colombia and Venezuela and Brazil. Those countries, their souls coming to know Christ like crazy. And yes, while those countries, while those regions of the world may have a harvest of souls that are coming to know Christ, my friend, the Islamic world right now, statistically, is the highest area of souls being saved. Churches being planted. The news is not going to tell you this. They're not going to tell you about all these churches being established over in a company or over in a country where Israel's been at war with them for a very long time. They're not going to tell you of the seven churches that are of like practice and faith as ours that are over there in Lebanon and where they have over 30 as well that are scattered across the borders and over into Syria and other countries too. They're not going to tell you about the Christian school that was planted over in Baghdad, Iraq and opened up last year. They're not going to tell you about all of these other churches opening in Egypt, and they're not going to tell you about all these other churches opening in Sudan and Libya. No, they're not going to tell you that. But my friend, let us realize there is hope for humanity, but it's only found in Jesus. God wants us to be merciful. And if we cannot be merciful to our own brothers and sisters, how can we be merciful to those who are lost? Let it first start here in the house of God. And let it reciprocate to those who are lost. The nature of mercy, the practical ways of mercy. But if we put mercy into practice, we'll find point number three, the power of mercy. Jesus was not just throwing out some, you know, flippant words here, you know, just to kind of make a little bit of time, stretch it a little further for these people sitting on the mountainside. No, Jesus meant every single word He delivered. Every article, every conjunction, every verb, every noun, everything you see within His words means something to humanity. When He says, "Blessed are the merciful," my friend, He is talking to us. We need to be merciful. And hey, if you already are an individual of mercy, now you'll be able to look and see there is true power in mercy. You ever thought about that power? A lot of us don't think as merciful as power. No, we think of, you know, what was just done recently, you know, those three that were dropped over there in Iran. We think that is power, you know. And that is military power in its greatest display, yeah. But the destruction that comes with that, it's destruction. Do you want to know where the greatest power is? It comes from mercy. It comes from love. It comes from stability, of being able to see things made anew, see things made aright. Imagine this world if it just... one day, all decided, it's time to give our lives to Christ. Imagine what this world would be like. Imagine what this state would be like if that happened in Virginia. The highways would finally be a lot more peaceful. Amen. Everybody be showing mercy. They'd just be letting you cut them off, you know. I mean, it'd be a great day on the highway. But imagine if this country came back to the Lord. This is one of the natural things that should flow from every believer. A heart of mercy. Compassion over condemnation paves the way for one to share the words of life. You might be here today and you may not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you've been coming here forever. I pray that if you are lost, today you'll be found and you'll realize how much mercy has been on display here throughout all of these years. Jesus told the woman who was caught in that very act of adultery, brought before Jesus and cast at His feet. After all had departed, Jesus says to her, "Where are your accusers?" Where are they? King James, he says, "Where are thou thine accusers?" He says, "Go and sin no more." Talk about mercy. Jesus, we know Him to be God. Jesus, the very Son of God, the one who is going to, I believe He's the one who's going to be doing the judgment at the judgment seat, all right? It says the judgment seat of what? Judgment seat of Christ. We also know there's a great white throne judgment. And I believe that at that judgment, it will be Jesus as well. Jesus had every right to say to this woman, "Guilty. Take her out and stone her, guys. You all right on this one. It's about time you Pharisees got it right." Jesus didn't do that. We find Zacchaeus, who was up in that tree, that guy who had swindled and had squandered and had robbed so many of the Jews in his neighborhood because of taxes and unfair taxation. He decided he was going to make himself a fortune. When Jesus saw him up in that tree, Jesus could have told Zacchaeus, "Hey, you look like a great torch to light right now," and just command that tree to light him up. After all, he was guilty of robbing so many Jews. After all, he was an Ebenezer Scrooge. I mean, Zacchaeus was a horrible wee little man. But God said, "No, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today." And man, Zacchaeus, his life was changed ever since. And you find Saul on the road to Damascus. He was on the road to do the very act of murdering and imprisoning Christians in Damascus. But on that very road, we find Jesus struck him down with blindness. Saul, Saul, why? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. But yet it was on that very road. Saul could have been condemned to death. God could have sent him straight to an eternal abyss. But Jesus gave him mercy. He showed him an opportunity. Oh, what mercy in action. When Jesus said to that woman, "Go and sin no more." Mary Magdalene would go on to be probably one of the most faithful women disciples of the Lord. That very act of compassion, of mercy, that Mary Magdalene was given, she needed to pay it forward to everyone she could meet ever since. We are not perfect. If you're perfect, you need to leave, okay? Because you're going to get upset. Because not a single one of us in here are perfect. We all have our own faults. We all have our own things of which we ought to, yes, ask God to change and make steps in that direction. But if we want mercy in our time of need, we must practice what we preach. King David, he knew of his own shortcomings. He asked the Lord on many occasions for mercy. And he also declared the power of God's mercy. Psalm 22:10 says, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies." And then a couple chapters later in Psalm 32 verse 10, it says, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." Oh, if we just cry today to the Lord and say, "God, give us mercy." The power of His mercy would be revealed. We find His mercy revealed in seven different passages that I'm going to give you today. Yes, there's many stories. Yes, there's many examples of which we could stay here for another hour, you want to, and talk about all of the examples of God's mercy. But don't worry. I'll try to get you out of here in time. We'll just look at seven. God's mercy is great. And that is found in Numbers 14, 18, and 19. God's mercy is plentiful. His mercy is so... Oh, wow. Psalm 86, verse 5. God's mercy is not just plentiful, but it's everlasting. And Psalm 100, verse 5. Aren't you glad God didn't say, "Hey, you're forgiven today, but tomorrow you're not"? Aren't you glad that God forgives? Amen. That's mercy. God's mercy is good. Psalm 109, verse 21. God's mercy is tender. Luke 1, 78. God's mercy is rich. Ephesians 2, verse 4. And then last of all, God's mercy is abundant. In 1 Peter 1, verse 3. If you're wondering, "Well, I don't know where there's mercy in the Bible," you must have been sleeping the whole entire time. There are so many examples of mercy. God has given us so many wonderful examples. Not just for us to say, "Well, that was a good story." He gives us those stories. He gives us these examples. He gives us those parables. He gives us all that He has for us in this Word so that we can become more like Jesus. That's what God wants of you today. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, the first step you need to do is come to know Him as Savior today. I would love to talk with you and show you a few verses of how you can come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hey, if you know the Lord as Savior, but you know, you're here today and you've just been a grumpy old grouch for so long. And here's probably one of the reasons why. You've forgotten what mercy is. But now that you've seen it today, it's time to get rid of that grumpiness. It's time to ask God, Lord, don't just show me mercy, but God, may I be a person that will likewise display your mercy for others too. However God is working on you today, I pray that you will be filled with what it is He has, as we all stand. Brother BJ.